And a very good afternoon to you. It's 12:07, and you're tuned to Midday Matters right here on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Sean Beter. Along for the ride, once again, it's Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. Bob, thanks very much for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me in here. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here. Pledge time.
It is, of course, the third day of our fall fun drive. And that means that over the course of the hour, we'll stop for just a few minutes to ask you to pledge your support to public radio. We had a very good morning. We want to keep the momentum going here. And this hour, we have a goal of 6 pledges and $600. We know we can make that with your help. So please do pledge your support right now at 260-452-1185. Or you can always go online to nipr.fm. The topic of our program today, of course, the state of public radio. We'll introduce our very special guests in just a moment. But Bob, I know that besides coming in for an hour a week, you're also a public radio listener. And I have to ask you, why?
What? I think that the first time I heard public radio in Fort Wayne was when I was in high school, months after it started, when it was just classical music. And that was interesting enough. It was a part of the mix for me. When I went to Bloomington, I discovered the different universe of news on public radio. And that's I've been a fan ever since, because the depth is really extraordinary, and their public radio's news, so often I can depend on reporters at National Public Radio to ask smart questions, anticipate the questions that I have as I'm listening to a story. And I think we can do that here, too.
And if that's a valuable service to you, chip in a few dollars to the hat if you can. $5 a month or $10 a month, perhaps $1 a day if that fits your budget. Whatever you can pledge, please do get in touch with us this hour and share that pledge with us. 260-452-1185 or online. It's nipr.fm. And joining us in studio for this State of Public Radio program, it's our general manager, Will Murphy. Good afternoon, Will.
Hello, Sean. Thanks for letting me sit in.
And thanks very much for being with us. We did this show earlier in the year, and we thought we'd revisit the program because we had such an interesting discussion last time around. Also with us in studio, you heard him last hour pitching the Diane Rehm Show. It's Kelly Walker, friend of the station, longtime public radio professional, and he's working with us during this fun drive. Kelly, thanks very much for being here.
And I'm very happy to be here. Thank you, Sean.
I want to start with you, Will, and we'll ask the big question here first. And actually, before we ask the big question, let me invite our listeners with their comments or questions to get involved in the conversation today. The number, it's the same as our pledge line, 260-452-1185, or you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. So let's get the big question out of the way here first, Will Murphy. The state of the station, what is the state of NIPR as we stand today?
I think it's very positive right now. We have increased and improved programming, in my opinion. Listenership is up over the past 2 to 3 years. I hear generally positive comments about changes we've made on the classical side. So those are all programming decisions. But at the end of the day, the barometer for how we're doing, I think, is, there are two of them. One is how many folks are tuning in the radio. And again, as I say, numbers are up this year. And the other is what we're doing right now, which is Fun Drive. Do folks support it? And so far, the answer seems to be yes.
Let me broaden the scope of that question a bit for you, Kelly Walker. You're working obviously with NIPR, but you've worked with and for and around stations across the country, public radio stations as well as commercial stations across the country. What is the state of public radio when you pull out, when you take a broader look?
It's been an interesting several months, I would say. There have been some changes. You know, Will makes reference, I think, to one of the ways that we measure the health of the station, which is certainly through member support. And I think on an individual level, stations are doing very well with individual member support and with business support and the ways that we fund public radio that are unique in broadcasting. I think where things get interesting is one of the other numbers that Will referenced when we talk about audience size. There have been changes to the way that the radio audience is measured in general over the last few years, mostly from the company Arbitron that is still the primary source of audience numbers. Public radio has been on an explosive growth curve for years. And in the past year, we have actually seen a leveling off that could even be described as a slight softening of those numbers. And what that means is it is possible that we're seeing a change in the way that people are being measured to listen to public radio, because certainly if we see increased financial support from listeners, yet Arbitron says we have fewer listeners, there's something, we have to reconcile something there. But there is certainly a trend that suggests that perhaps we are not growing as quickly as we were. We might have plateaued, and in some cases, especially in large markets, we might even be slipping a little bit. As a professional who's called upon to explain this, one of the things I think we have to look at is, are we as attractive to younger listeners? Are people, as we've sometimes said in the past, aging into public radio the way they once did? And I would say that's one of the issues that we're really looking at very closely today.
I want to tackle those. There are a lot of issues between those already that we can jump into. We do have a listener question I'd like to get to right now. And of course, if you would like to get involved in the conversation, it's 260-452-1185, or you can always call 1-800-471-9264. Let's go to the phones, and we have Richard on the line. Richard, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. I enjoy public radio. I've been listening to public radio probably the last 20-plus or more, even 30 years. Started off with WBNI, then WBOI came about, and I enjoyed the programming up until here recently. I've seen a change in the programming, too much news. I enjoy the Midday Matters. I do enjoy Science Friday, Garrison Keillor, so on and so forth. I enjoy those shows. But I started off listening to the jazz. It was very refreshing, especially here in Fort Wayne or even Northeast Indiana. You don't find that type of programming. Then one evening, I'm thinking I'm going to listen to some jazz. I turned the radio on at midnight, and there was a different type of programming that you would normally hear during the day or sometimes on a weekend. I understand that you have fillers, and I understand that programs, there's a cost for these programs, and some programs cost more than others. But as I talk to individuals throughout the community, and just the things about, the culture of things or things are available here in Fort Wayne, and I'm 55 years old, so I started back again, okay? That type of programming is something that I don't think, you're talking about listenership and then there's no commercial.
Richard, let me interrupt you for just a moment here. You brought up several good points, and we'll keep you on the line here. But let's put that issue to Will Murphy. That was going to be one of my next questions. There have been, a lot of changes at the station over the past 2 years. Richard is referencing specifically our loss of Jazz Works and the addition of BBC overnights.
Right. And I think that's a legitimate concern, and it's something that radio stations always deal with. That there's always a conflicting demand for airtime, and some folks like more news, some folks like more jazz, some folks want all classical. And even within those little groups, there are people who are, for example, on WBNI, there are folks who want more opera, and there are folks who get outraged if we have anybody singing. So I'm quite aware of some frustrations. In the specific regards of Jazz Overnight versus BBC, that was motivated by a couple of considerations. One was, in the past couple of years, there have just been a number of really sort of striking news events. One thinks of the uprisings in the Middle East, the killing of Osama bin Laden, the financial crisis that the country has faced, and a number of other issues. And our former program director, Andrew Anderson, and myself were getting notices from NPR at all hours of the day and night saying, we're about to go breaking live with this story, get it on the air, or this press conference or whatever. And we'd have to, you know, do it remotely by phone or come into the studio and change things. Bottom line, stations that had one station dedicated to news and one dedicated to music were in a lot better position than stations that had both of them dedicated to music in those situations. So that was a catalyst. We wanted always to have a station that had some access to news. And so that's partly why we moved to the BBC. I'll also note that we had some technical problems with Jazzworks. They had some distribution problems, and we decided to step away. And finally, I think one component that figures in is strategy, how one programs. And so going forward, I think we will continue to have jazz programming. We've got Friday Vibe with Bill Forsyth and Bruce Reitenbach. We've got Toss Jazz Salad on Tuesday nights. We've got All That Jazz with Doug Gruber, all hosted by live local folks who bring a lot of additional expertise and local insight. And of course, we have Meet the Music and a number of other music programs like Burnt Toast and whatnot. But strategically, if you think we're just going to run CD after CD after CD of jazz, folks, quite frankly, will be turning to Pandora for that kind of thing. So to the degree that we can add something, bring some value to musical programming, we're going to do that and keep it local. But to just pipe in a satellite, I don't think that's a strategy that works long term.
I understand that. All right. I understand that.
Something I'd like to add to that is when you look at serving the community and you think of all the people who are up either because they're insomniacs or because they work overnight, there's only one other overnight talk and news program that I'm aware of, and it's full of Bigfoot calling in about being taken by flying saucers, that sort of stuff.
Are you referring to Coast to Coast with formerly with Art Bell?
Yes.
I'm a longtime fan of that program, but I have to say, I do believe public radio brings something to the table that is somewhat lacking on Coast to Coast.
Let's hope.
At least on the nights when Ian Punnett isn't the host, and he's down to once a month.
Richard, you were trying to pop in there.
Well, basically, and I understand what Mr. Murphy is saying, and I know it's not the thing to do, but I would just like to some of the other individuals just like to hear a little bit more jazz in there, somewhere in the programming thing, because it's I guess you call the old timers, that's what we,
right,
we grew up on.
And Richard, I have to say, this is Kelly, and I have to say, I sympathize with you completely. I started my career in public radio, my full-time career, spinning jazz, and discovered public radio through jazz. So there's a tremendous affection I have for jazz on public radio. And the short answer is, somebody who works with stations around the country, if I had a good answer that would satisfy everybody, I would be a very successful individual indeed. And it's not – that shouldn't be construed as we throw our hands up in the air and say we're just not going to make everybody happy all the time.
Sure,
but rather,
sure,
we spend a tremendous amount of time, I think, trying to figure out ways to balance it all in such a way as to make as many people happy as possible. So
sure.
If right now you are dissatisfied with the change that your local station has made, one, you've done the right thing by communicating that, I think, especially in as thoughtful a manner as you have. But more importantly, keep paying attention, because as long as we are aware that there is a call for it, and we know darn well it's not going to happen on any of the other media outlets in town, we will be seeking to find a way to fulfill that listener need, because in the end, that's what we do.
Yeah.
All right, Richard. I'm sorry. We have to get to another caller here and then
sure.
take a break. But thank you so much for your call and for listening as well.
And keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
for
Richard.
Thank you very much, Richard. 260-452-1185 is the local line to call, or you can get in touch 1-800-471-9264. We have one more caller we're going to get to before we take a break. Let's open the phones and go to Lynn. Lynn, a very good afternoon to you. You're on Midday Matters.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I don't know if I have a question as much as I have a comment. It sort of echoes what Richard said, but it's on a different focus. And this may have to do more with NPR nationally than locally, but I do believe there has been a change in the last couple of years. And I always listen to NPR on the way to work, on the way home from work, and it just seems like, on all things considered, I really enjoyed the human interest stories, and now there's just so much political news. It just seems like it's political news ad nauseum. It just goes on and on to the point where I just turned it off now.
Will Murphy, this, of course, is election season. A lot of demand for those stories, but not everybody wants to follow the horse race minute by minute.
I can certainly understand that, but I do think you have to make certain allowances every 4 years. I haven't noticed a larger trend on ATC, and Lynn's question makes me want to sort of tune my ear a little better and see if I hear that on ATC. I know that they're trying to reconfigure that program a little bit, although not in the direction that Lynn's talking about. I think they're going to try and tune it a little bit more in the direction that she'd like to see it. So long term, I think it's good news, but she may have to just kind of close her ears for another 6 weeks or so, because I think it's going to dominate.
And Kelly Walker.
Well, one thing that I would also ask, because I agree with you, Will. I wonder sometimes if I'm listening as objectively as possible in that case. And I think about a program like Morning Edition, where they have focused human interest around very specific projects. So take, for example, StoryCorps. And I wonder if the emphasis on specific projects like that is perhaps taken away from an overall sense that the program speaks to people and speaks to issues as well. I don't know if you remember, we have a colleague, Jerry Bain, who is currently living in Colorado, and I was extolling the virtues of the Moth Radio Hour. Mm-hmm. And Jerry said to me point blank, he said, "You know what I don't like about that show?" And I said, "What? I love that show." He says, "I don't feel like it's ever just average people. It's always, you know, most recently Suzanne Vega or this person who wrote this big book." I think that the Moth loses something by focusing on, in his, as he described it, celebrities. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'd be interested in listening perhaps with a slightly more objective ear in my case.
I think that public radio folks are right now dipping their toe in a lot of different waters. And one of them that's very interesting is what's happening on Weekend Edition. They're really changing things on that show, and with a cover story that takes a long time. They devote a lot of time to one particular topic, and typically it's not politics. Mm-hmm. And I think folks are sort of looking around to see what's attractive, what works, what people like. So I think we're going to see some transition.
And Lynn, let me pop in here very briefly. Earlier this year, I had the pleasure of chatting for quite a while with ATC executive producer Chris Turpin. And I think he echoed your sentiment in some way. He expressed that he was very interested in kind of getting outside the Beltway, because ATC tends to be a show that is often centered inside Washington. And he's moving more and wants to move more toward making that show a much more national show, getting human interest stories from the Midwest, from the West Coast, all over the country. And so not only is your voice being heard here, I think it's been heard at NPR in D.C. as well.
Can I say just one more thing?
Certainly.
I love things like StoryCorps and the stories like just that you were just talking about from the United States or around the world about average everyday people, maybe a town somewhere that's struggling. Or I know there's been programs on about the people in New Orleans and how they were affected by Hurricane Katrina. And then there was a program where they, you know, checked up on them a couple years later. And those kind of stories are what I really find interesting. I'm not saying that there should never be politics, but it seems like the balance has been lost.
All right. Well, Lynn, thank you very much for getting in touch with us, and thanks for listening as well.
Okay. Thank you for your listening. Thank you.
All right. Have a very good day. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll return to this conversation in just a moment. Of course, we do want to hear from you today. The number to call to join the conversation is 260-452-1185. Of course, you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. And before we head off to the break, we'd like to remind you, of course, this is our fall fund drive. We have a goal this hour of 6 pledges and $600, and we need you to help support this program. Please, if you've been waiting to make your pledge, well, make it now and get it out of the way so you can listen guilt-free the rest of the fund drive. The number is the same as our studio line this hour. It's 260-452-1185, or you can always make your pledge online. It's nipr.fm. Stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
It's a blues and country showdown on American Roots. Jerry Douglas, master of the dobro and beloved Nashville session man, tells about a recent project that brought him to New Orleans. Then a visit with acrobatic blues man Guitar Shorty, who shares tales of his travels on the Chitlin Circuit. I'm Nick Spitzer. Join me for American Roots from PRX.
Monday night at 7 on WBOI.
This is Bob Ferguson. This week on Guitar Showcase, we'll be listening to the music of master Brazilian guitarist Paulo Bellinati. We'll hear Bellinati perform the music of Garoto, Antonio Carlos Jobim, Radames Natali, and a generous sampling of his own compositions. I hope you can join me Monday evening at 9 o'clock here on WBOI.
On Talk of the Nation, we like to be clear about what we're talking about, whether it's movies.
A B-movie was a movie that was made specifically to be on the bottom half of a double feature.
Or the auto industry.
One mid-level executive at a top automaker told me, well, 30 years ago, we were a car company that would occasionally lend money to our customers, and now we're a bank that makes cars.
Talk of the Nation, clear, straight, open, from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
It's 12:29, and you're tuned to Midday Matters here on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Sean Beter. Very happy to be with you on this Monday afternoon. Joining me, of course, Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. And our topic today, it's the state of public radio and the state of NIPR. We look at things as they stand today and maybe look ahead into the future a little bit later in the program. This, of course, is our fall fund drive, and we have a goal during this program of 6 pledges and $600. Looks like we've heard from 3 folks already pledging their support to keep shows like this on the air. Now we need to hear from you. If you have yet to make your pledge, give us a call. It's 260-452-1185. And you can always make your pledge of support online at nipr.fm. And Kelly Walker, you've come a long way to help us with this this fun drive. I'm curious, you know, what is it about public radio that is kept you interested in this business, passionate about this business for so long?
I think it's several things. I mean, the most obvious is exactly what the listeners are calling in for, and that is the tremendous scope of programming, the in-depth coverage, the fact that there is so much detail and there is so much analysis, the fact that I always learn something new, that I hear about something that I didn't know even existed, that I'm constantly surprised by what I hear on public radio. Now, what keeps me on this side of the microphone and what keeps me, you know, working behind the scenes is the very same thing, the scope of people, the tremendous variety of personalities that come to the table and help produce public radio, the tremendously committed, talented people, and the fact that those committed and talented people seem to constantly spring anew. So we are always finding, you know, you and I have been speaking a great deal over the last 2 years about public radio in general. And, you know, the mere fact that there always seems to be somebody else who wants to step up and be a part of our community. You know, we have the community with our listeners. We also have the community. I was at a reception in Birmingham, Alabama recently for WBHM Radio. And Scott Handley, who used to be in Pittsburgh, is the new general manager. And I walked up and I said, Scott, you may not remember me. And, you know, reminded him of where we had met in the past. And he said, we are just one big small town. You know, everybody knows everybody else's business. We all know each other. And really, I think that, Will, you probably can attest to this. If you work in public radio for any length of time, it is an enormous community of people.
And it takes, frankly, listener support to keep this community thriving, to keep it growing, to keep programs like Midday Matters and All Things Considered and Morning Edition on the air. We need to hear from three more people this hour to make our goal of six pledges and $600. So be that person right now. Give us a call, 260-452-1185, or you can always pledge on our website. It's nipr.fm. Of course, our topic today, the state of public radio and the state of this station. And Will Murphy and Kelly Walker have generously come on this program, knowing that we might face some tough questions. But thank you both for being with us for this hour. Bob Kaler.
Well, it's interesting you should talk about public radio being a small town, because but this public radio station sometimes makes Fort Wayne seem like a small town in a good way. It seems like every few weeks I stumble across another show that's come on that somebody I know is doing. And it reminds me of my impression is I've been listening steadily for 23 years since I came back here to work. I've never heard more local voices doing more different kinds of things than I have here in the last year. Tell me, Will, a little bit about what some of the new things are that volunteers are doing, and are there new ways that we're using volunteers at NIPR that we haven't before?
Absolutely, and I think I'll answer the last question first, because there have been changes at both the micro scale and the macro scale. So, and I'm always surprised that when you make a tiny little change, sometimes that has a much more profound listener reaction than a macro change. So one change that we made, for example, was instead of having the same sort of announcer, the professional voice at the top of the hour saying, "You're listening to WBOI Fort Wayne," we had all our volunteers and all our staff people and a few board people make IDs, and people were hearing accents and they were hearing voices that were not quote-unquote professional radio voices at the top of every hour. And we got incredible feedback and overwhelmingly positive feedback. People heard the diversity of their community in probably the most important announcement we make every hour. So that was a small change that reflected that. But then there are other changes we've made that were substantial and I would say in some cases radical. Two most recent examples that I can think of, or most prominent examples, we have a program on Sunday afternoon called FM Myanmar, a Burmese language program, and to my knowledge, the first and only Burmese language program on a public radio station in the United States. And we did that for obvious reasons. There's a substantial community of Burmese folks in this town and across the country as well, but certainly in Fort Wayne. And it was, to say the least, an underrepresented community on this and other radio stations. And so it seemed almost, as radical as the idea was, it seemed almost a no-brainer to feature Burmese language on to serve that community, because they don't have access to perhaps more expensive forms of communication. Cable, for example, there is a cable TV program on Fort Wayne Access in Burmese, but this was a program that was accessible to anybody who has a car with a radio in it, or a radio at home, or a Walkman, or an iPod, or whatever. So that was one radical change that reflects the local community. We have another program that on WBNI that features a young man who's phenomenally gifted and talented, and I'm very proud of him. His name is Josh, and he is living with autism. The notion of having somebody on a radio station who is autistic is unusual, to say the least. But it's an important voice in this community that needs to be heard. And again, I think it serves to our mission of serving the community. So those are just two of the more recent and more radical ways I think that we've done innovative and different things that reflect voices in our community.
We have an email from Deb that we're going to get to about those political stories we were talking about earlier, but we do have a caller on the line I'd like to get to. And of course, we want to invite our listeners to join the conversation this hour. The number is 260-452-1185. course, you can always call 800-471-9264, post on our Facebook wall, or you can send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Let's open up the phones and go to Margaret. Margaret, good afternoon here on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. I want to thank you for providing us with such good programming on the station. I've been a committed listener and supporter for many years. I just have one suggestion, and that is, could you please back off on reading the mission statement so often? I found it to be quite redundant, and I'm just tired of hearing it so much.
Okay.
And that's my only comment. But otherwise, I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Margaret, thank you very much for the call and the kind words. Have a good day.
Thank you.
All right. And of course, any other listeners want to join the conversation with questions or comments about our station and public radio at large, 260-452-1185. Very often, Will Murphy, and it's the little things in
Absolutely.
Radio.
I do want to get back very quickly, if I could, to something that Bob was asking about, and that's just the programming and the use of volunteers more broadly. And I wanted to take this opportunity to kind of explain the process, which may be opaque to some folks here. We basically have a system in place whereby folks, if they have an interest in a program that serves the community or they think serves the community, we invite them to offer that proposal. We have a programming committee that committee that meets every 2 months and takes a look at proposals. And so it wasn't like someone walked in the door and wanted to do a program on in Burmese, and we said, sure. It went through a process, a review. People listened to it, had comments, input. And that committee involves staff and volunteers and listeners and underwriters and a whole range of stakeholders. So if folks have an interest in a kind of programming or a show that they think reflects a community interest or provides a community voice that's not there, we welcome those proposals. We'll put it before the committee. We want to make sure that there are enough people involved and enough resources at hand to make it sustainable, that it has a certain sort of appeal to more than one individual who walks in the door. But the door is open in terms of folks offering ideas for programming here at WBOI and WBNI.
Bob Kaler.
One of the problems that I think you can get into when you have a lot of interesting new things going on is getting out the word about them with anything other than on-air promotions. What are some of your ideas about helping people know what's going on in the station and what new things there are to sample?
I think that's a very good question. We do have the benefit of having a big 600-foot structure in the backyard here that we can broadcast our message through. But for folks who don't listen to that or aren't aware of it or whatever, that's partly the function of our community advisory board. And there's also, I think, a network through volunteers, through underwriters, through staff members, et cetera, of just getting the word out. Of course, these days there's also the advent of Twitter, Facebook, all those avenues for getting out ideas, not to mention our website. So there are a lot of different avenues, but for me at the end of the day, it's about human relationships, and the institutional structure for that right now is the CAB, the Community Advisory Board.
We're going to, we have one more caller on the line before we get to a break. And of course, we want you to join us during this hour of Midday Matters. If you have a question about public radio or about Northeast Indiana Public Radio, give us a call, 260-452-1185. And it looks like we have another caller on the line. Let's open up the phones. I don't have a name. Caller, you're on the air.
This is Fred.
Very good afternoon to you, Fred.
And you too, sir, and everyone on there. The success of the NPR coverage of the Suchi visit had its basis in the excellent outreach that Will, you, and many others have had in terms of the empowerment of our local people to tell stories about Fort Wayne. And in this particular case, a very unique situation whereby people were saying, why is Suchi coming to Fort Wayne? The incredible diversity of the Burma community, as well as Suchi's understanding of what that means to the future of Burma, was truly well featured in your local NPR coverage, and I think contributed enormously to the general understanding of, indeed, what did Tsuchi's visit mean.
And I should note that Fred Gilbert was, in fact, a great partner with us in getting much of our Aung San Suu Kyi visit coverage going and helping us to reach out into the community a little bit further. And Fred, we thank you for that. And Will Murphy, these are the types of relationships you were just speaking about.
Absolutely. Yeah, Fred was somebody who knew all the players on the ground, so to speak, who could make that happen. Then, of course, when Aung San Suu Kyi decided to visit our community, we had a little discussion about, do we really want to have an hour of a lecture that or a presentation that's not going to be in English? And there was some soul searching that went on in that conversation, I think. But at the end of the day, yeah, we had to do it.
Will, if I could contribute something that I think kind of harkens back to experiences you and I have had throughout our career. It is a testament not only, I think, to the outreach you've done in your community, but also support from the individuals in that the radio station has the resources to pursue this major breaking story. I think you and I both could think of incidents from our career where a local station is in effect scooped by National Public Radio, by NPR, because they simply did not have the resources to cover an event of this magnitude. Not even just in terms of the kind of resources that people might think, you know, equipment and material, but the staff members who are expert enough to go out and do that coverage. That's something that is a real tribute, I think, to this station, that you've made a sufficient commitment that you're in a position to be prepared to handle a news item of that magnitude.
And we're going to take a very, very short break, and we'll continue the discussion about the state of public radio and the state of NIPR when we get back. I do want to take just a quick moment to urge you right now to go to the phones and support this station. We cannot put shows like Midday Matters, All Things Considered, and Morning Edition on the air, frankly, without you and your financial support. We have a goal this hour of six pledges, and we have three so far. So now's the time to get to the phones or get to your computer and pledge. The number is 260-452-1185, or you can always pledge online at nipr.fm. Stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
At All Things Considered, we don't just bring you the day's news. We interview actors, musicians, and artists of all stripes and take the time to understand what really drives them. We learn the story behind the story to get at the deeper truths that connect us all. I'm Audie Cornish. Stop by for your daily dose of discovery every afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
And good afternoon. 15 minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, it's Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter along with Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel for this hour of the program. And our topic today, it's the state of public radio and the state of NIPR. And joining us in studio, it's our GM, Will Murphy, along with a longtime public radio professional who's also giving us a hand this week during our fall fun drive. Kelly Walker is here, and they're here to answer your questions and take your comments. I do want to put in just one more very brief, not plea exactly, but request. If you like programs like Midday Matters that feature local voices, chip in a few dollars if you can. $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever amount you can afford. Get in touch with us this hour. The number is 260-452-1185, or you can pledge your support online at nipr.fm. We're looking now for just one more person to make that pledge of support this hour, and that will help us meet our goal for the hour. Let's get back to the interview now. Bob Kaler.
First, I have to cut in with this observation. As someone in commercial media, I cannot believe what kindness people wrap their complaints in when they call in here. We can only hope for that.
So. It does speak to a fundamental value of public broadcasting that I think has gone unspoken in this hour, but it's critical, and that's the notion of people can disagree and still be civil.
And indeed they are. A question for both of you is, how much are people using the internet to listen to public radio and to go back later and catch programs they didn't before? And is that taken into account in measuring listenership?
Would you like to begin on a local level, or would you like me to begin with my own observations?
Why don't you go first, and then I'll fill in.
Okay. There's no question that the online component is the fastest growing development in public radio today, and that's especially true of NPR.org. I can remember very clearly in 2005 having a conversation with a very close friend at NPR and asking what's the podcasting strategy as I was developing local podcasts and being told, well, there is no podcasting strategy.
Wow.
We're not interested. This individual was not in programming and was perhaps not privy to the fact that NPR was about to become one of the most popular sources of podcasts in existence. And so I think that NPR's own forays into it in many ways have shown them to be very responsive to these sorts of changes. I know that online listening has become significant within radio in general, both commercial and public radio, and has caused a certain amount of concern over, well, if they can get the program from anywhere, why would they get it from us? From a programming standpoint, as a programming professional, I'm very happy with that as a perception of competition because it reinforces, I think, one of the fundamental values of any member station, which is we need to be important to our communities. We need to be local. We need to make sure that we are emphasizing. And I think we went through a long period leading up to this development of digital media where stations were increasingly focused on the national picture and were perhaps not always serving their communities. And I think this has forced us to recognize that even in an era where digital media is pervasive, localism should be one of our first and foremost values as a public radio station.
Yep, I agree with all of that. I'd like to offer, I know we have a couple of email questions, but I want to bring up three quick examples that illustrate sort of the national and regional and local manifestations of Bob's question. First of all, FM Myanmar, which we were talking about a few moments ago. We put that program on thinking that it would reach a fairly small audience, but a very underrepresented audience. When Dave Hunter, our membership manager, and myself went back to look at the digital analytics, that is to say folks monitoring via stream or on a mobile device of some kind, many Sundays we find that that is the most monitored program, more than Weekend Edition, more than Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, more than Car Talk, which was, you can imagine, something of a shock. And as Kelly says, the numbers are small, but that's a significant fact. And I think those numbers are going to move. And we made a decision on programming based on its local manifestation, but folks are listening to us all over the country and all over the world on that program digitally. Second example I'll cite is in Evansville. I had a conversation with one of my colleagues, and we were talking about whether or not we would share our State House coverage, Brandon Smith and his reports, with folks who are not members of Indiana Public Broadcasting. Folks, for example, in his case, who are in Kentucky. And he said, well, there's no way that I'm going to let him have this material because if he has that, then I got nothing. And my thought was, if you're looking across the river at a tower and that's how you decide who your competitor is, you're out of luck in the 21st century. That's not what you look at. The tower is important. I don't think digital towers or terrestrial towers are going away. But your audience is a lot more than that guy that you can see, you know, 2 miles away. As Kelly says, the third example is when I was at a public radio program directors conference. The guy who's the head of American Public Media gave a presentation, and he talked about how heartbroken he was when his daughter moved into her new apartment and he didn't see a single radio. It's like, do you not listen to the very thing that I earned my livelihood that put you through college? And she said, Daddy, I absolutely listen to radio. I just don't use a radio, you know? And I've had that problem here too, where we've had outages at the station and I'm listening either on stream or on HD, and I don't know that the terrestrial signal's off sometimes, so I have to go out and get a terrestrial radio.
And it looks like we have a few email questions that have been with us for a while here. Deb says, I totally disagree with a previous caller regarding the political stories. I listen to All Things Considered and Morning Edition because of the political stories. Usually political segments are given non-biased and equal treatment. It's not something you find on many radio programs that are very biased. I also find these segments informative, where I can make a decision based on accurate information, not biased information. And besides all that, Deb really enjoys Steve Inskeep on Morning Edition. <That's> so, nice Deb, thank you very much for your email here. One more email from Jim Connell. Jim says, has anyone considered a show that features the all-time best of pop music, or has that already been done?
I would say that has likely been done in various manifestations. I don't think it's been pitched to us locally, and if Jim wants to make that proposal, I'd be more than amenable to take that to the committee.
Jim, be in touch, it sounds like. 10 minutes left in this program here. We've got a few callers on the line. Let's go to Marcel. Marcel, a very good afternoon to you. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes, good afternoon. This is a comment with regard to Conexión Latina, which is a program on Sunday evenings that I have listened to on a regular basis for a number of years, and I do like the program, but I sometimes have issues when the moderator or host gives what I consider to be his opinions with regard to some political issues. This is especially with regard to things that have to do with the government policy on immigration. And I do understand where he's coming from, but it's not a balanced presentation, which is the thing that, you know, public radio has a good reputation for, presenting both sides. So I think they should either not make those comments or should have a program where they give both sides of controversial issues.
That sounds like that could be a great show.
I agree with that assessment, so... I'll have a conversation.
Okay, thank you.
Marcel,
thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your call. One more caller on the line here. Let's move on to Jeff. Jeff, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to call in, and as you're getting a lot of suggestions about changes that might be made, what I've noticed in my travels visiting family, especially around the Chicago area, is that I can't find a station in northwest Indiana or western Chicago that in any way approaches the programming that I enjoy on your station.
That's very kind of you to say.
It just amazes me that in the Chicago area, when I'm in doing whatever I'm doing there and turn on the radio and I'm looking for the talk shows that I enjoy so much on NPR, I can't find the programming, and it might be just somewhat a matter of I know when and where to look here in Fort Wayne, but I just wanted to let you guys know that I really enjoy the programming. I've been a listener for years, and I'm just amazed that I can't find my programs, your programs, around the Chicago area and that with that population.
So
it's
we-
amazing.
We'd be ready for you to give a plug. What do you consider my programs that you really miss when you're not able to get them?
I pretty much listen from, the morning news shows all the way through. Of course, when you get into the Burmese programming that I ran across this weekend, that to me is dead air. you lose me then, but this isn't a negative comment. You have much more programming that I'm interested in, your news shows, Car Talk, the Saturday programs, pretty much most of the talk shows that you do have.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate that. And I think, without getting into the specifics, I oftentimes go to Chicago and I'll listen to us, and then I'll listen to VPE, which is an LCART, and then I'll listen to Lakeshore Public Radio, and then I'll listen to BEZ. As I'm headed there, and there is a radical difference in not just the programming lineup, but the sound of the station. And I think that is in part that communities are different, and that it's each individual community's attempt to represent its local market as best it can. So I'm glad that you like what you hear. And I have to say, I oftentimes, when I'm coming back to town from wherever it might be, if I hear Sean on the air or I hear Sarah on the air, it's sort of an audio cue that, yep, I'm home. I've come back to my community. And so it's what you're used to, I think.
Same thing. I'm always happy when I can finally pick up 89.1 on my radio as I'm approaching Fort Wayne. So appreciate the job you guys are doing with your programming.
And Jeff, thank you very much for your call and for the kind words.
Thank you.
And have a good day. We have just a few moments left in the program here. One more caller on the line. Let's go to Diane. And Diane, please be brief if you could.
I will. I'd like to complain about Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I know it's a really popular program, but it's become more pro-Romney, anti-Obama, more mean-spirited, and lost its cultural sensitivity. The audience is booing more and more in their jokes, and I just wanted to place this complaint to you.
All righty. Thank you. Duly noted. I don't think Peter Sagal is going to change his formatting based on what I say, but I appreciate your comment, and I'll be giving a listen to it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Diane, we appreciate your call as well. I had one more comment that came in here. We have Michael. Michael says, I drive an 18-wheeler all over Fort Wayne night and day. Listens all the time. Called in with compliments about the diversity of programming, especially loves Radio Lab. So, Michael, thank you very much. And, gentlemen, we have just a few moments left in the program. Kelly Walker, I'll start with you. Where do we go from here? I heard you speaking off air earlier how this is a very exciting and very challenging time for public radio.
I think that if I were to communicate one message to the listeners about what I think they can do is, and it's going to sound self-serving, but I think that it is that ongoing support. One of the complaints that I hear outside of the big circles, the network circles, or independent producers who say, there isn't a home for my work. And it's only going to be through strong member stations that we can find homes for new voices. The best new programming, in my opinion, is not going to come from the top down. It's going to be what bubbles up from the member stations unexpectedly and from voices that we could never even imagine. So I think the support of the member stations is paramount to the ongoing success of public radio as an entity.
Will Murphy, same question to you. Localism, the answer for NIPR as well?
There's no question of that. I think if we try and be what everybody else is, then Sirius and satellite radio and Pandora and all those things are going to eat our lunch. We have to stay local. It's what radio is not doing. We have to do the exact opposite, and our content has to reflect our community. I'm loving this conversation that we're having, and it makes me want to start a program where we do nothing but have a conversation with the listeners about what we're doing, because what I learn from this conversation each time I have it is the best ombudsperson for what we do are the folks who are listening. And so we need to get their feedback on what we do.
Well, we are out of time for this edition of Midday Matters, but Will Murphy, Kelly Walker, thank you very much for being brave and joining us on Midday Matters today. Bob Kaler, thanks to you as well for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks to all our listeners for being with us and for calling in and sharing your thoughts about what we do. I want to put in one last pitch in the last 30 seconds here. If you like programming like Midday Matters and the other local shows we have, give us a call. Pledge your support at 260-452-1185. Or you can always pledge online at NIPR.fm. And I would like to thank Valerie and Jim for helping us get to our goal this hour. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI Fort Wayne, and WBKE North Manchester. Fresh Air is up next. Have a good day.